We have come now to Baptist Catechism question 31, which asks, wherein consisteth Christ's exaltation? Answer, Christ's exaltation consisteth in his rising again from the dead on the third day, in ascending up into heaven, in sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and in coming to judge the world at the last day. We will read Philippians 2, 5 through 11 as our scripture text. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This now the reading of God's holy word. May he bless the teaching of the faith even now. We have been considering the threefold offices of Christ. We have learned in the weeks past that Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, is the great prophet, priest, and king of God's people. We have been reminded again and again that we need him as our great prophet, priest, and king. We need his prophetical office due to our ignorance. That is not an insult, but just a fact. We are blinded by sin to the truth of God, and so Christ reveals the Father to us. He calls us to the Father as the great prophet of God. We need his priestly office due to our sin. And Christ, as our great high priest, has atoned for our sins, not by offering up the blood of bulls and goats, but by offering himself up a sacrifice unto God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he intercedes for us even still. We need his kingly office, because we need someone to defeat our enemies. Who is our chief enemy? It is Satan himself. Christ has come to stomp upon his head. We need to be saved from our enemy death, and Christ has done this too through his victory over death. And in time, Christ also subdues us. He causes us to bow the knee before him and to confess him as Lord, as he subdues us by sending forth his word and his spirit. And so these three offices of Christ the Redeemer, they meet our needs in every respect. And we have been taught by our catechism that Christ is our great prophet, priest, and king, both in his state of humiliation and also in his exaltation. This is marvelous to consider. Christ was born into this world, born to a virgin. He is the eternal Son of God incarnate, and he came into this world to be the great prophet, priest, and king of God's people. So we see these offices of Christ displayed even in the public ministry of Jesus in his incarnation. And we have considered these truths together already. We have not only considered the threefold office of Christ, but we have considered what it means for Jesus to be humbled. He has come down. He took the form of a servant for us and for our salvation. But today we turn our attention to Christ's exaltation. Brothers and sisters, it is important to see that Christ is still the great prophet, priest, and king of God's people. He still functions in these capacities. He still does this work for us. And our catechism helps us to see and to appreciate these marvelous truths. Let us consider our catechism here phrase by phrase. At the beginning of the answer to the question, wherein consisteth Christ's exaltation? Another way to state that question is, what does Christ's exaltation involve? The first answer is, Christ's exaltation consisteth in his rising again from the dead on the third day. Where did Christ's humiliation take him? What was the low point to which Christ descended? Well, he hung on that cross, did he not? And after dying, his body was placed into the grave and his soul descended to Sheol to pronounce victory there, but it was from there that he was raised. And so here is where Christ's exaltation began, in his third day resurrection. He was raised from the dead on the third day, as 1 Corinthians 15:4 says. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Here Paul the Apostle is wanting us to see that Christ was raised from the dead on the third day, not at random, but in fulfillment to prophecies previously made. Where does the Old Testament speak of Christ's third day resurrection? Well, one place I would want to point you to is to the story of Jonah. And we have discussed this before. Jonah was a type of Christ, and Jonah being in the belly of the well for 3 days and three nights was a type of the burial of Christ and of his third day resurrection. Christ was raised on the third day. That is where his exaltation began. He defeated death. He burst forth from that grave in defeat of death. And he walked amongst his disciples for a period of time to show himself alive, to show that he had victory over death. But after he showed himself alive for 40 days on earth, he ascended up into heaven. That is what our catechism draws our attention to next. He ascended up into heaven. Acts 1:11 records this. "Men of Galilee," the angel says to the disciples of Jesus, "why do you stand looking into heaven?" I guess they were mesmerized, and it's not hard to know why. They stood looking up. Christ was taken away from them. He was taken up into heaven. "Why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So Christ ascended. And what did he do when he ascended? Well, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. This is something we make mention of quite often when we worship together, that Christ ascended and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, as Mark 16:19 says. But what does this mean? This sitting down of Jesus at the right hand of the Father is no ordinary sitting down. He sat down upon his throne, brothers and sisters, as our great prophet, priest, and king. He sat down upon his heavenly throne, the throne that he had earned as God's obedient Son and as our Messiah. He sat down, and there he rules and reigns even now. And so he was humbled for us and for our salvation, but he was exalted. And to where was he exalted? The right hand of the Father in heaven. There he is seated. He is enthroned there. He is our King in heaven. He is also our prophet in heaven as he sends forth his word even still. He is our priest in heaven too, for there he intercedes for us continually, day and night. He does not tire or grow weary. He is not hindered by death, for he has been raised to life everlasting. So Christ has ascended as the great prophet, priest, and king of God's people. And then lastly, our catechism mentions that he will come to judge the world at the last day. This is the last part of Christ's exaltation that is mentioned. Acts 17:31 says that God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. God will judge the world on the last day, but he will do so through a man. And who is that man who will judge? He is Christ the Lord, our exalted Savior, who sits now at the Father's right hand. From there he will return to judge the living and the dead. And dear brothers and sisters, our catechism is faithful to present us with orthodox Christian doctrine. Aren't you grateful for that, to have this wonderful doctrinal statement? Of course, it is meant to summarize in many ways our confession of faith, which is longer. But I hope that you are seeing that this doctrine is not dry. This doctrine is not impractical. It is so very important that you look upon Christ and you see him for who and what he is. You need to know what his natures are. You need to know who he is, what his person is, the second person of the triune God. And you need to understand what work he has done. You need to see that he has fulfilled the office of prophet, priest, and king. He has done this to meet all of our needs. I have done this before, and I will do it again, because this is the last question and answer on this beautiful subject. I would like to read Second London Confession, paragraph 8, chapter 10, which gives wonderful summary to this entire section of our catechism that we have been considering. It says, this number and order of offices is necessary. For in respect of our ignorance, we stand in need of his prophetical office. And in respect of our alienation from God and imperfection of the best of our services, we need his priestly office to reconcile us and present us acceptable unto God. And in respect to our averseness and utter ability to return to God, and for our rescue and security from our spiritual adversaries, we need his kingly office to convince, subdue, draw, uphold, deliver, and preserve us to his heavenly kingdom. Christ, the Redeemer, brothers and sisters, meets all of our needs, and he has done this in such a marvelous way. We must look to him as our great king. We must see that he rules and reigns supremely. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him. Do you believe it? It is true. We must look to him also as our great priest. He has ascended the right hand of the Father where he intercedes for us, and he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. We can come to him, therefore, as our great high priest, knowing that he has experienced the same difficulties that we have experienced, with the exception of sin. That is what Hebrews 4:15 says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. We must look to him as our great prophet too. Each Lord's Day, we assemble together, and the main thing we do is we open up God's word to us. We open up God's word, it is read and it is preached, and when we consider God's word, we are considering the words of Christ, for he is the eternal word of God incarnate. We are considering his word. We are desiring to believe it strongly and to live in obedience to it. In this way, we look to Christ, our exalted Savior. Aren't you thankful for him, brothers and sisters?